If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, some familiar verses of Scripture. Our theme this year in the church is let God transform you. I think this is part of what God wants happening to our people. We need to transform the way we think. We need to let God just move into our mind, take over, and begin to, you know, have people talk, I want the mind of Christ. God wants you to have the mind of Christ. Amen. And he wants our mind to become like his. But Paul told the church at Rome, said, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The word renew simply means to restore, to renovate, or to renew. We need a restoration in our minds. Hello? If we act the same way everybody else does when something goes wrong, why do they want what we have? If our thinking is the same as everybody else's, then if we fall apart, then they don't have anything to look at. What people need to see in us is a people that's not perturbed by everything that's going on around them. Real peace is not just saying, hey, I'm wonderful, I'm fine. Real peace is when the whole world's falling around you, you still stand there going, hey, my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I would ever ask or think. Real peace is looking at a king fixing to throw you in a fire going, our God whom we serve will keep us. No matter what you do, we're going to win. Amen. And if we begin to think like that, we understand what the doctor says doesn't matter. All that matters is I know one way or the other I'm out of here sooner or later. Come on, church. Amen. Colossians 3:1. For if then we be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affections on things above. Quit worrying about what you don't have down here. We're taught from a kid we got to keep up with everybody else. That's why you got kids cheating in school. I saw something the other day. It was funny. This little boy got his report card, and his dad said, son, why did you make such a bad grade? He said, well, it was an absenteeism. He said, you missed that much school? I don't remember you missed that much school. He said, it wasn't me. It was a dude sitting next to me. Glory. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Glory. Amen. But we're pressed to be better, to do better, to get better. We let it control us. We set our sights on things that are here, and we want to keep up with everybody. And we've got people that are so far in debt they can't ever get out because they're trying to keep up with folks. And now we got the new thing. I deserve everything they do. Not if they worked and bought it and you didn't. Let me repeat that because some of y'all gave me a sour look. If you didn't work to get it, you don't deserve it. I know I'm living in the wrong world for that, but that's the way I brought up. I never forget, I got up one Saturday and told my daddy, I said, Daddy, I'm too young to work all day. I want to go play. He said, you want to go play? I said, yeah. He said, well, go play. I went, whoa. I got on my bicycle and I took off down the road. I thought, this is awesome. I should have done this earlier. I goofed off. I heard that bell ring for lunch. Mama go out there, ling, 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 ling. Everybody run up there to get something to eat. I come running up on that back porch, son. I was about to starve. I mean, I ain't had nothing to eat since 7 o'clock. Here it was, 11. Well, y'all look at me. Y'all know y'all didn't miss meals when you was a kid. Y'all got to understand something. Back then, I was skinny as a rail. But I could eat my brothers and daddy under the table, all four of them against me. Glory. I ran up on the porch. Dad said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to eat. He said, no, you didn't work. You wanted to play. Go play. flesh. I didn't get to go in the house and eat. When he walked out the back door, he looked at my mama. He said, he don't get anything to eat. He didn't work. I couldn't even get the woman to give me a biscuit. Went out my friend's house and got something to scratch out on, a couple pieces of bread and some cheese needed. I was about to die. Supper came. I come to the house. I'm like, you didn't work. You don't eat. I said, Dad, you don't understand. Now, church, fasting's one thing. Number one, I wasn't a Christian then. Number two, it wasn't my desire. That was being forced into this deal. I had to go to bed without eating. I got up the next morning. Mama's in there cooking breakfast. I don't get breakfast because I didn't work the day before. I had a transformation. Because by the next Saturday, I was the first one headed toward that field when time come to go to work because I was going to make sure I didn't miss them meals. Hello? And I suddenly realized my daddy's theory works. You can make a living a half a day every day of your life by working. Just pick what 12 hours and go for it. Glory. Amen. See, some of y'all thought I was going to say work 4 hours a day and you'd make it, but that ain't the way it works. Some of you think it is, but glory. I took opening scripture one time from a book in the Bible. Had some of them got upset because it was Job, they thought, and they didn't know it was Job. They thought I was going to preach about the whole book of Job. Glory. Set your affections on things above. What's he talking about? Get your mind off everything in this world. Nothing down here going to matter. It's all going to disappear and go away. But if we get our mindset on God, amen, what are you talking about? He said, don't trust in the things of this world where the moth and the rust doth corrupt and the thief break in and steal. But put your treasure in heaven. Why? Because that's something that's ever going to go away. It's not ever going to disappear. But forever and forever and forever, I've got what God has prepared for me. Could you say amen? 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up your loins of your mind, be sober and hope for the end of grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, what are you talking about? I believe part of the transformation is getting to that place where you understand. I've got to let God take control. I've got to get the revelation of Jesus Christ in me. And when I do, then I am an overcomer because I understand. I'm not just saying words. It's a reality of my life. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Could you say amen? When I get enough of God in me, I cease to exist. And once that happens, I got it made. Come on, church. Whew. Now, somebody said, you're going to become God? I never do that. But I can get so much of him in me that I start to reflect him. And then I can say, Paul, live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me, and the life I live because of him. Amen. Church, if we get the mentality, I can't make it without him, then nothing takes the place of him in our life. Come on, church. Amen. And I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but I've been around long enough to understand something. We make ways to do what we want to do. Brother, you sell cars. Yeah, people come in and look at the car two or three times. Sooner or later, they'll buy that car, won't they? Even though they can't afford it, they'll find a way to get it financed. They'll get it because they want it. We make ways to move ourselves around to get what we want. Yet we've got people in the church who said, I want to know God, but they never pray. They never read a Bible because it doesn't seem that important to them because they can run in on Sunday morning, hear Granny's favorite song, get a few doodads on their back and feel good about themselves. But the truth of the matter is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you need to be in the presence of God sometime during that day and make God a part of what you are. When you do, you will have the power to have a transformed mind. Lord, the word mind as a noun simply means that part of that process in our body that helps us think, feel, receive, and remember. Amen. Church, don't you understand remembering is awesome? There are some things in our life we don't want to forget. I don't know about y'all, but I can remember stuff back when I was a kid. I got some stuff back when I was a kid I forgot. I don't want nobody else to remember. I hate family reunions. I go down to family reunions and I find out all the stuff everybody thought about me when I was a kid. And in most cases, it ain't good. Hello? Don't look at me like that. I've never told y'all what an angel I was before I got right. I mean, let's face it, I was the scourge of the family. My granddad called me Rascal, and it wasn't because he just gave me that name. I used to think my grandma was a ninja because most of the time I seen her, was like, ah, you know. Smile. But there are things I want to remember. I was talking to Sister Pat yesterday. I walked by and said, you remember the last thing Brother Barnes said to me? I will never forget this, and I'll keep it the rest of my life. You got to understand something. Brother Barnes and I were friends longer than most of y'all even knew him. We had done all types of committees together, worked on boards and stuff like that together, and been around each other. I preached in every church the man pastored. So we were friends. He was over with Sister Pat. She was getting her hair fixed, and I came in, and they got ready to leave, and he said, Kenneth, what are you here for? And those of you don't understand, it didn't matter what I told him my name was. To him, I was Kenneth. I told him one day, he said, Kenneth. I said, I go by Ken. He said, I know Kenneth. He gets up out of the chair. He said, what are you here for? I said, I'm going to get my hair cut. He said, Kenneth, that's a waste of money. Glory. And I really believed him because, you know, when a person would cut my hair, they didn't do this. They went, Just search out the ones that needed clipping and cut them. You know. I'm not as bad as the guy went to the barber shop and the guy charged him $500. He said, well, no more hair than I got. He said, well, most of it was for hunting. Glory. 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 Smile, y'all remember that. Amen. But there are some things we want to remember, some things we want to forget. The mind is that capacity that helps us, the intellect that understands and distinguishes from the faculties of feeling, will, and intelligence. The human brain is the same general structure as all the mammals. Do you realize that elephants and whales have bigger brains than us? But the wrong parts developed. The human brain has a cortex. And we use that to have our memory in. And because of that, that part of the brain is bigger than it is in most animals. Could you say amen to that? Cerebral cortex. I'll get it right in a minute. We also have a visual cortex that helps us see, and it's more developed than other animals. That's why you need stuff like my daughter-in-law to put glasses on you. My part didn't develop like everybody else's. Glory. Hello? Smile. Do you realize, and I'm giving information I gave last Sunday night, but there's people here who didn't hear this, but do you realize, according to studies, there are 12 billion brain cells in your head? I mean, every one of you got them, just some of us don't use all of them. Do you know that every one of those brain cells is connected to 10,000 sensory receptors, meaning you got 120 trillion different ways to receive information and stuff into your mind and in your brain? Your brain is a complex thing that a computer can't even keep up with, and God created it. It is the most influential part of your life. It is the thing that controls everything that's in you. And now, church, we need to understand the wisest man ever lived simply said it this way: as a man thinketh, so is he. As a mind goes, we go. And if we sell our mind out to God, get it transformed to thinking like him, then we learn how to walk right, we learn how to talk right, we learn how to live right. Come on, church. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? We ought to live right because we mean to, not by accident. Glory. If there be any virtue in them, think on these things. Hello? That's a good thought. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? The Bible tells me in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how's that going to happen? Because when we get our mind where it's supposed to be, it controls everything else, including your tongue. And your tongue, the Bible says, is the most unruly part of the body, but the mind can control your tongue. When you was a baby, you couldn't talk. Now, I carry on conversations with babies because I can still talk, baby. I haven't forgot it. Y'all try. You see a baby, ooh, baby, baby, baby. That baby's going, what did he say? Hopefully you'll speak English so eventually they'll start talking to you. Glory. But do you realize your mind tells your mouth what to say and your tongue forms the words and pushes it out? But without your mind working, you can't talk. I take that back. I've talked to people, their minds wasn't working. But it doesn't function properly. Oh, come on, church. Every one of y'all said something in your lifetime. You're going, you know, if I thought about it, I don't believe I'd say it then. Hello? But the reality is you can change the way you say things. I can look at you and I can say this. Dumnezeu este cunoe. My brain just started running in Romanian and told you something. Your brain's still in English going, that guy's crazy. Glory. The truth of the matter is, I can put it in English for you. There is a God who is with us always. It was a matter of my brain putting it through to my mouth and my mouth doing what it's told to do. Amen. Why? Because my brain was in charge. So if you cuss, understand it got in your head before it got in your mouth. And if you get your mind transformed, those kind of words won't flow out of you. Oh, I just threw that in there and didn't even, y'all just was just totally caught off guard, but glory. But it's the truth. Well, preach, I couldn't help that. Most of you thought it before you said it. And you know what? If you train your mind, you understand something that messes you up, you realize how to mark it off so you don't do it no more. You put your hand in a fire, every one of us done something stupid like this. Grab something hot. You ain't never going to do that again. Come on, church. Anybody put something in your mouth that was too hot? I remember one time we were at Williamsburg and Alice was going to slip over and steal some of my split pea ham soup. And he got in my mouth. It was all over the table because it was too hot and he wasn't keeping it in. Hello? He didn't get no more of my split pea soup either. So, preacher, what are you talking about? What if we learn to treat ourselves that way with things we do wrong? Come on, church. I told this Sunday night, but I'll never forget, God pulled out in front of me one time. Oh, I followed him down the road. He'd have been my steering wheel. He'd have been in bad shape because I was hitting my steering wheel thinking about all the stuff I wanted to do to him. Come on, I know y'all precious people. People pull out in front of y'all, bless him, Lord. You the same people hit your finger with a hammer and start praising God, too. Yeah. Right. Guy pulled out in front of me. There wasn't anybody behind me. If he'd have waited just a few seconds, he could have pulled out and not bothered anybody, but he just had to pull out. Just as I got there, I barely missed him. I followed him up a road. We get to a red light. I'm sitting back there, and the Lord convicts me and said, you can't preach acting the way you are. I got out the car, walked up, tapped on the window. He said, roll the window down about that much. I said, I need you to forgive me. He said, for what? I said, all that stuff I've been doing to you ever since you pulled out in front of me back there a while ago here. Huh? He took off through the red light. I turned around, everybody looking at me going, I got in the car and run the red light too. I didn't feel like sitting there getting persecuted over trying to do right. Amen. You say, well, what good did that do you? A few weeks later, somebody pulled out in front of me and I went, it ain't worth it. Glory. Come on, church. You say, what are you getting at? That's the way we've got to do is train our mind to take care of our body and our spirit. Could you say amen? What we put in is who we become. If we were to have Thanksgiving meal, how many of you ladies would cook a buzzard? They're the same bird as a turkey. There's even a thing called a turkey vulture. They exist. They have one to see. Glory. Same type bird, same type meat, but you're all going, you seen what they eat? I'm a country boy. You saw what a turkey eats, you wouldn't eat it either. Glory. But we eat turkeys because that's accepted. But we'll go around all week long throwing garbage in our head and run to church and try to offer ourselves as a sacrifice and a sweet smelling savor to God. And he's going, Come on, church. Come on, smile at me. Some of y'all are like, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I mean, we got folks that live like a dog during the week and run to church acting like they really got saved on the way to church. Hey, man, the reality is how we lived all week long is what God's been watching. He don't want you to run in and act like you're something. He wants you to become something. The whole reason we're in this world is to perfect us for the changing and the living of the saints and to learn how to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and love God's Word and let that Word separate us from the things of this world. Could you say amen? Point one, we need to identify specific thought patterns or ways of thinking which are not based on the truth of God's word and are causing resistance to walking according to the Spirit. Any of y'all ever heard this? Well, I was taught this all my life. If you was taught it all your life and it's contrary to what's in this book, it's time you had a life change. Come on, church. How about this? I believe. You know, I actually had somebody tell me the other day, I got a right to believe what I want to believe. I said, you know, the Constitution of the United States gives you that right. They said, that's right. I said, but there ain't no Constitution in this book. Hello? I've never seen a Magna Carta in here. I just caught some of you then. You're going, what is that? That's something that the British had that we based our Constitution on. It gave rights to people. There is nothing in here. God doesn't have a Bill of Rights for people. He just said, hey, this is what you live by. You either live this way or you ain't going. That's all there is to it. Come on, church. Well, now my God's different from yours. Not if it's in that book. Come on, church. I mean, my dad used to have strict rules. On Saturday, he went to town. If you went to town, you had to do everything you're supposed to do, get all your chores done. And if you were going to town, you had to be out there ready, because he didn't do anything but walk out there, get in the truck, crank it up. I'm going to town. He was out the driveway. Now, you was either in the truck or getting in the truck, or you got left. And if you hadn't done everything you're supposed to do, you didn't go to town. And you know, you folks were raised in town, so you don't understand that. But where I live when I was a kid, you wanted to go to town, especially in the summer, because you didn't see nobody else unless you went to town. Glory. And the only time I seen people wasn't happy about going to town is because they knew they wasn't going. They knew they had done something wrong and they were out of the loop and they weren't going to town. Come on, church. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I guarantee you, if I knew I was going to town, I was excited. I got out, got everything done. I was in the back of that truck or close enough to it I could jump in because I knew I'm going to town. You say, what's that got to do with me? We got people that need to understand there are ways you make it to eternity. It's right here in this book. You don't have any guidelines other than this. This is what you're going to live by. This is what you're going to be judged by, and the only hope we got is that our thoughts match up with what God said. And the only time I see people are not happy about the coming of the Lord is because somewhere deep down inside they know they don't have a ticket and they're not going. But can I tell you, when you know you're going, I don't worry about the fact he's coming back. I'm not worried if I wake up in the morning. I'm not scared if I die on the way home, because I know that I know that I know my God's on the throne. Woo! I've renewed my thought pattern. I've put myself in it. Hey, Paul said, get the old person you were. Get rid of him. Now, some of y'all might have been proud who you was before you got saved. I'm not. I don't ever want to forget who I was before I got right, because I don't want ever to become that person again. Come on, church. Paul said, I die daily, because every morning he got up and said, Saul of Tarsus cannot come back alive. I got to get rid of him. He gone. He can't come back. I am Paul. Because old things have passed away. All things have become new. And if that hasn't happened for you, you need to change your thought pattern. Come on, church. Oh, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Listen, we let false beliefs get in our mind, and those beliefs get in our mind and mess us up on what we believe. And y'all know Solomon, wisest man in the world, richest dude in the world. I mean, this guy was awesome. I mean, let's face it, who couldn't have a lot of wisdom when you got 700 something wives telling you what to do? 350 something concubines kicking in. But do you realize he was the richest man in the world because every woman he married, every concubine he took, was because he was cutting a contract with a king to set up a business venture, and he made money through every one of those women and every marriage he had with a connection to their parents. He was the guy that no matter what you wanted, he could get it for you, and everything that was traded in his day went through Solomon's hands. He was a rich man. He was a wise man, but he made one mistake. He started going to church with all them women, and all of them didn't have the same religion. religion, and next thing you know, he gets so watered down in his religion, he don't even realize who God is anymore. He can't figure out what's going on, and he had to get down and pray through and say, God, remove it all from me. It's all vanity. Give me neither riches nor poverty, because I don't want to forget who you are. And he turned his mind back to God and came back. Can I tell you, we live in a day where we can be deluded by every belief and thought pattern that's running through this world. But if it's not in this book, in black and white, you don't need it in your head. You need to turn it off, turn away, and get back to the reality of what God is. And when we think like God wants us to think, we'll live like God. Oh. The music we listen to. We got kids passing notes in church. I got one, I'm trying to figure out what it was. Then it hit me. It's words from a stupid song. Filthy words, but they're from a stupid song. Now, they're not filthy if you read them, but the way they're down there, it's filthy because you know what they imply. Hamburger buns is one thing, but when you're using buns about a human, it's not hamburger buns you're talking about. And where'd they get that from? But some music. And the parents, oh, you let them listen to it. Oh, they're 14 years old. When I was 14 years old, my daddy told me not to do something. I had enough sense not to do it. If I had a radio playing something he didn't want me to listen to, he'd bust the radio. And then I had to wait for a couple of years to get another one. Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all give them all kind of stuff for Christmas. I got one stinking present. That's it. Christmas was about getting together and having family and putting popcorn around the tree. And it wasn't all about what I'm getting, because we didn't get that much. Come on, church. Smile. Y'all heard the story of the submarine. I got one year for Christmas and lost it in the creek 2 days later. Didn't have nothing to play with the rest of the year. Glory. I didn't get off on that by accident. We've trained our kids that no matter what we do, we'll replace it if we tear it up, because we won't keep listening to that. And let's face it, we come up listening to stuff. You know, I remember in the 70s, doo-wah, diddy-diddy, dum-diddy-do. What's scary is I think I remember what that meant. And some of you older folks going, yeah, that was bad. How about ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ping-pang, walla-walla-bing-bang? That was some real stuff right there. Glory. Now our kids are listening to junk, and we're telling them, don't listen to that. Yeah, we're riding down the road last night all alone in a bar room. Well, that's country music. It's still junk. Come on, church. Think on these things. If they're pure, they're honest, they're of good report, think on these things, and he will keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And somebody told me today, you watch all them old violent movies, black and white cowboys. I know they don't actually kill the other dude. I see him in another movie later on. I tell you what's scary. Some of y'all may remember back in 2010, I had a tumor took off my head. I came to church on Sunday night, and that scar was pretty shiny back then. You can't see it now, but it was shining. I sat down in the back of the church. I had a little bit of a headache, but I came to church because this is my church. Somebody walked by me and said, what happened to you? I'm not thinking. Y'all know me. I looked up and said, I was watching Into the West in 3D, and I got too close to the TV at the Battle of Little Bighorn. One of them Indians hit me. Now, here's what's scary. They said, really? And they walk up, sit down, then turn around and look at me. And I'm not going to say who did it, but they're probably red right now. But they went, because it hit them. I was just playing with them. But I'm trying to figure out why they had to take that many steps before they realized I didn't get hit by a tomahawk in my living room. Come on, church. But now that's no different than kids waiting on a zombie to come get them because they've been watching that junk on TV. Afraid to go to bed because a vampire might bite them. We learn fear. we can learn peace. We learn to be afraid, but we can learn how to walk with peace and power and be an overcomer. Jesus tells us in James, I came not that you might have a mind and to be crazy. He said, I came that you might have a spirit of a sound mind and of joy and of peace. And that's what God wants us. Oh, come on, church. That's good stuff. How do we get it? Change our thought patterns. And I'm fixing to close. This will be another day. Glory. Just as soon as I find number two. It's in here somewhere. By the way, those of you who was at the funeral yesterday, if you noticed, our overseer was using notes. It wasn't intentional that he left off alabaster. He just got his mind crossed while he was looking through his notes and went on to the next subject and realized he didn't say alabaster. Glory. Those of you who wasn't there, he was giving a list of the churches that Brother Barnes pastored. And when he got to Zion Ridge, he shut off and went somewhere else. But if you watched, he was looking at his notes while he was doing so. And he meant to say alabaster, it just didn't come out. Hello? Point two, a person needs to confess and ask forgiveness for the lie of false belief that has caused them to believe something contrary to God's word. Psalmist in 119, 159, 158 said, I beheld the transgressor and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, for thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God said, I feel sorry for people who are not living right because they don't know the word. I don't feel sorry for people that know the word and still aren't living right because they're doing that on purpose. But I pray God will help them, just as he had to help me, to understand that the more of that word I put in my heart, the more alive I become in him, and the more like him I become. And that's what we're here for, church, is to be like him. God doesn't want me to be the greatest preacher that ever walked on the face of this earth. He never requires that. He just wants me to be the best preacher I can for him. But he also wants me to be the person that people look at and see what he looks like if he were a preacher walking in this world today. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? He doesn't expect you to be the greatest secretary, teacher, carpenter, plumber. But he expects you to show the people around you what Christ would look like if he was doing that job. And we fall far short of what we need to, but we don't mean we got to throw up our hands and quit. So many times we're like sports teams that if we lose a couple of games, we just... And one of the things you realize, if a team starts playing and they lose a couple of games, they usually tank it, and the rest of the year they just go through the motions and lose. Coaching Pee Wee baseball. I had a bunch of little kids that were just, I don't know how I got them. But I don't think any of them ever played ball except for two. And, of course, in Pee Wee, that's not too bad because both of them could pitch and both of them could catch. So I just swapped them back and forth, and we'd done pretty good. But we lost the first two ball games. And, man, the parents was, oh, what are we going to do? You need to get out there and yell and scream. And I said, I'm not a yeller and a screamer. One dad kept yelling and screaming, and I told him, I said, if you keep it up, you ain't coming back out here no more. I'll take my son with me. I said, that's your business, but you ain't coming out here and yelling at everybody. You ain't even going to yell at your son while he's playing on my team. You're supposed to be teaching 8-9-year-old kids that baseball's fun, that it's great. You're supposed to be like, hey, go back. You missed it. So he was looking at an ain't bed. Those are important things to 8-9-year-olds. I called timeout so many times, it wasn't funny because the boy get ready to pitch and the plane would go by. I said, timeout, because my whole team. Pitcher's the only one still knows what's going on in the game. I never forget, I told him, I said, guys, we fixing to start playing ball. And I started talking to them about how good they was. I had this one kid couldn't hit a ball for nothing. I'm sorry, he would just get up there and, I mean, they throw him, they lob him a ball, he'd miss it. I put it on a tee and he'd swing over it. All year long, this kid has been playing. We had won 8 games in a row. And he would get over in the dugout and hide because every game, every one of those kids had to bat. And he didn't want to bat. My brother was over the league, and he kept telling me that I was too aggressive because if my boys got a hit, I kept them running. Made the other kids look bad because they'd be throwing the ball away and my kids would still be running. He'd get a bunt, single, and score. Glory. Amen. One guy said, that's just not being a good sport. I said, why? Your kids ought to be able to stop them. Smile. That's the idea of competition. But all this time, I got this one kid. And we were playing people up in Northside in Montgomery, which is not Montgomery, Alabama. It's a little community in Montgomery up near Samantha. And we were playing teams. We were in a Dixie Youth League in Tuscaloosa County. We were having to travel all over the place playing. We were playing the best team in the league. We had a chance to beat them. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden it hit me. Jeremy ain't batted. I go walking over. I said, son, you got to get a bat. Bases loaded, 2 out in the last inning. We need a hit. Coach, let somebody else hit. I said, no, because if we get out and you ain't hit, it ain't going to matter. If the guy hits a home run, we still lose because you got the bat. Well, coach, you don't understand. I said, come here, son, come here. I walked him up. I said, just walk up there, swing. I said, I've been throwing the ball to you in practice. You hit balls I throw to you. I throw it a lot faster than that kid. I really didn't, but he didn't know. Glory. He gets up there, they throw the first ball, and he swung with everything he had. Fell down, he swung so hard. He didn't hit nothing, but he swung. That's better than some other times. He usually just stand there and watch them throw 3 by him and go back to the dugout. I said, hey, that's it. That's a try. Come on, man. Do it again. I said, walked up to him. I said, hey. I said, come here. He ran back to me. I said, look, go up there. When you see the pitcher, come over his shoulder with his arm, swing. He said, okay. He goes over there. He missed it again. Well, he tore up some air. His daddy's back there. Watch it, boy. Watch it. And I'm like, I've been trying. I didn't say that, but I'm thinking it. I called timeout, and I called him back to me. I said, come on, son, you got one more strike. I said, do me a favor. Close your eyes. And he closed them. I said, not now, when you get back up to the plate. I said, close your eyes, and when I say swing, swing the bat about the middle of your waist. He said, what's that going to do? I said, just do it. I said, win, lose, or draw, just do it. He walked up there. The guy threw the ball. I said, swing. Pow! The right fielder had pulled way in. It went over his head. We scored 3 runs and won the ball game. Some of y'all may remember before he broke his hand, he was a starting catcher at the University of Alabama and one of the best hitters they had because after that day, he learned how to hit a ball. He changed the way he thought. He quit going to that plate thinking, I'm over, it's done with, I can't do it. And church, let me tell you something. Some of you have got to have a transformation of your mind. You've lived so long thinking, I can't live right, I can't do this, I can't do that. And if you think you can't, you are never going to do it. But if you let God loose in your life, there is nothing you cannot accomplish. If you let God loose in your life, there is nothing you cannot do. Stand with me all over the house. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are. If you sell out to God and do everything God wants you to do, you will impact this world some way for Him. Mordecai Ham, tent preacher, set up a tent in North Carolina and preached for 3 months. In 3 months, nothing happened. One night, a little kid come down and got saved. 14, 15 years old. Mark Callahan was so disturbed because nothing happened in his tent meeting. That was the third meeting, and only one little kid got saved. Sold his tent, moved back to Iowa, went to work as a tenant farmer because he couldn't afford his own place. And he worked there for years on that farm, just going to church. Never preaching much, just going to church. Working that farm. He got him a TV set when they came out. And to his amazement, one day he's looking at that TV and a young man's preaching in New York. A revival that went 50-something weeks and had over 4,000 people saved. See, that little boy got saved in his tent was Willie Graham. He's 95 years old. And we still realize he's probably the greatest evangelist of our time. And Mordecai Ham thought he didn't do anything. We've got people sitting here that thinks you've not done anything. You don't know who you might touch that starts a ripple that changes the world. If you could just transform your mind, your thinking, get back where God wants you to be and put the word in your heart. Ask God to forgive you for your unbelief, for your following false doctrine, and say, God, I need you to help me. I've been believing stuff that ain't right, but I want to know what is right. I want to sell out to you, God. Father, we thank you today for your love, your mercy. God, have your way right now in this service. Minister to us with your power. For it is in Jesus' name.